She's right here. She's right here.
Okay. Good morning, everybody. It's 9 minutes after 11 on Tuesday morning, October 12th.
Oh, George.
As chair of the Public Safety and Security Committee, I will call the committee to order. We are joined by the Committee on Government Operations Efficiencies.
Which has a quorum.
Which has a quorum. Chairman, Chair Kapowitz is on his way. She'll be here very shortly. But the Committee of Public Safety is in order, and we will begin the meeting. Today we are continuing our due diligence, our discussions on the proposals submitted by the administration to merge two county departments, the Departments of Public Safety and the Department of Emergency Services. We've held several meetings today. We've had the commissioners in a couple of times. Today we have the opportunity to hear from some of our advisory boards. They've been they're very interested and concerned. Obviously, they've been meeting on this. I believe they've all met with the county executive or members of the administration. They certainly have asked to reached out to us to come before the committees and share with us their concerns. We've gotten some written communications. I know from Chief Kapika and at least and. This is as we've all spent the Columbus Day weekend out among our constituents. I'm sure we've all heard various comments from folks in our district. So it's obviously an important issue. The question of timing came up. We're getting down towards receiving the administration's budget and our budget, and clearly there are budget implications potentially this merger. So we are here to move forward. And Melanie, do we have any particular order or list of
I don't.
Who's here? Just we'll do the, I guess, the EMS Advisory Board. I know I see Scott and the Chief. So we'll maybe we'll call members of the EMS Advisory Board to come up, Chief and Scott. And is it tonight the EMS Council is having a...
We got to waive our meeting tonight. Because, board generally meets the second Tuesday in the month, but... because most of all of us are here today, we're going to waive the meeting tonight.
Oh, I see, because I thought you were going to... Was it tonight we're going to be in the chambers? Wasn't there some kind of presentation? Was that a different...
I think you
accounts
know, somebody else.
Those either accounts? Okay, I think there's a council, EMS council, doing something in the chambers tonight. But not the advisory board. That's okay, well, Chief, welcome. Do you want to... Scott, do you want to...
No, I think the Chief...
He represents the
okay. Okay. That's right. Chief Kapika, you want to, for the record, introduce yourself and...
Absolutely. John Kapika. I am currently the chief of the Village of Sleepy Hollow Police Department, but also the chair of the EMS Advisory Board, a position that I've held, by the way, since the board's inception. So,
well, welcome. I know we've seen you many times for, as a chief of a different municipality, but I know we're,
my other life.
Your other life. So, well, we appreciate you and your colleagues coming today because I know you have things to tell us, and we know you. Very interested in, to hear from you. So the floor is yours.
Thank you. And we appreciate the opportunity to come before your two boards and discuss our feelings. Some have been addressed. We still have some concerns that we believe we should bring directly to you. First of all, we want to reiterate our support for consolidation. We believe in this fiscal climate that if duplicity can be eliminated, that's a good thing, provided it doesn't sacrifice our ability to deliver services, particularly in an area as critical as emergency services, whether it be police, fire, or EMS. We do believe that, although we support consolidation, that some of the efficiencies and fiscal savings that are outlined in this proposal can be accomplished without a full-blown merger of the two departments. We see that many of the duplicitous positions seem to be able to be consolidated without a law change or an abolition of the Department of Emergency Services. We also feel that this is a really big move, and the consolidation of these two police, these two different departments is to us a significant step. I mean, we're not talking about closing down the golf course, so we're not talking about eliminating tennis programs somewhere. We're talking about two departments that directly affect the public safety in Westchester County. Now, the county having 40-some-odd jurisdictions, I mean, these departments really don't have a constituency, and yet the entire county is their constituency. The Department of Public Safety really is responsible for county buildings, parkways, things of that nature, and obviously it's pulled in on mutual aid for the various police departments to assist local law enforcement as well. But it isn't really responsible, except for those small jurisdictions like Portland, where it has a contract to be the primary policing agency. The Department of Emergency Services, however, is responsible for the coordination of any emergency response on a large scale in Westchester County. Every government calls in the county when there's a huge issue. In fact, we just had an unfortunate situation in the village of Tarrytown where two volunteer firefighters died. And the County Office of Emergency Management was incredibly helpful in planning this major event that affected both the village of Tarrytown and the village of Sleepy Hollow. But they are really involved, the Department of Emergency Services is really involved in many more aspects than is the Department of Public Safety. And that's not a knock against the Department of Public Safety, because they do a great job. But we feel this is so important that, and frankly, there's a feeling that, I know it took a long time to put these proposals together, or a significant time to put them together, but it feels like like this is being, we're being rushed to judgment here. We've got to move this thing quickly so we can come into the, it can be included in the next fiscal year's budget. We feel something is serious in this, and I have the greatest respect for the commissioners of the police department. I've known them both for 30 years, and I have the greatest respect for them. When you ask two commissioners to come up with savings, and they serve at the pleasure of the county executive and the board of legislators, and they're saying, come up with savings. And their jobs are on the line here. I mean, it puts them in a position where I think perhaps more savings than necessary could be realized by virtue of I look better that way as the commissioner, and I want to maintain my job. We believe that the proper way to have done this would have been to retain an outside counsel, outside corporation, outside consultant, to look at this particular thing and really give it a good look. I mean, we are not talking about a enormous savings of money here that if we lost it for 1 year, the county's going to go bankrupt. The projections in the proposal are $690,000 for the first year. I mean, it's five decimal places in the county budget. And even the third year, the savings at $1.5 million from DES is 0.001%. of the county budget. So we're not talking about money that's going to, if we don't get to realize these savings tomorrow, the county's going to go bankrupt, although we do believe that savings can be realized. We also saw in reading the proposal and reading the addendums, I mean, support for this seems to be have fallen. You look at the White Plains Department of Public Safety as a model. It's a bad model. The city of White Plains is a single entity. It's one municipality. They have one police department, they have one fire department, easy to control. The county is responsible, only has one police department, which does assist local law enforcement when it's asked to do so. But 60 Control services 50 different agencies, both fire and EMS providers. It's not a comparison to White Plains. It may not work as seamless as White Plains work because of the number of different agencies that are served by the Department of Emergency Services. The proposal also speaks to the consolidation, facilitating a more cohesive planning, and this is a quote out of the proposal, more cohesive planning across the various disciplines, and, quote, a more efficient response and allocation of resources in connection with a disaster, as well as further facilitating unified command. Goes on to say that disaster planning and on-scene incident command require all aspects of public safety, police, fire, and EMS to sit at the same table, speak with a unified voice, and operate under a unified command. We in EMS can't understand why this is not happening right now. There is no reason why this can't happen right now. In fact, it's mandated by the National Incident Management System that it occur right now. The county of Westchester has signed off to the federal government that it's in compliant with NIMS, which means that it must operate under a unified command system. So whether it be not only police, fire, and EMS, county DPW, various other departments that may be involved in a disaster and have to be called in, all have to operate under a system of unified command. That's happening now. It's not going to be facilitated any further by this consolidation. Also, we feel that although there may be some small benefit in a consolidation towards further unified command, it could also have a negative effect, especially on EMS. If our voice now, right now, we have a full voice. We have a commissioner, a position that sits at the table and talks to another commissioner. If that commissioner's position is relegated to a deputy commissioner's position, we actually could lose our voice. We could have less of a voice at that table than an equal voice as we have now. Just to give you guys just a short anecdotal background, unified command is a concept where all the commanders and leaders involved in a response to a disaster, both government and non-government, become involved in a decision-making process. This could include police, fire, EMS, DPW, Red Cross, utility companies, and many, many others. You may have to go to private contractors to remove debris from roads so emergency services can get in and service people and evacuate people. It involves a number of different types of organizations. We just don't want to see the EMS function, of course, in any disaster is going to be critical. Why? Because people get hurt. You know, we saw it was a bit of an anomaly in 9/11 because the disaster was so horrific that there were very few people that needed EMS help. Most of the people were killed in that terrible disaster where two planes crashed into the Twin Towers. There weren't many people that were walking wounded. So EMS's position in that disaster did not play as significant a role as it usually does. But EMS is critical to any disaster, natural disasters like hurricanes, tornadoes, where there are large numbers of casualties. If we don't have an equal voice here, that could suffer. We also looked at, there was a reason why that the Office of Disaster and Emergency Services, called ODES, was actually transferred from the Department of Public Safety, where it resided once, to its own department. Why was that done? What was the logic behind that? We tend to believe it was because it was of such critical importance that it should have resided in a department all its own. And now we're taking that, now we within 10 years we've recanted that position and we're saying, oh no, for monetary savings, what we're going to do is we're going to take that thing back out and put it back where it was before, where we thought it shouldn't reside in the first place. We find that somewhat anomalous. I mean, what's the reason for that? Why are we doing that? We also believe that some of the savings and a number of the efficiencies that are mentioned in the report are attainable without combining the departments. The first year we talked about $690,000 in savings. We see that there's one line in there that says $140,000 for a Department of Emergency Service code enforcement, which is going to be transferred to DPW. And it's really, we won't really know if the position is going to be eliminated. It may just be transferred and picked up by DPW, and that salary wouldn't be saved at all. But certainly that can be done right now without a full consolidation of the two departments. We also see taking $142,000 of savings in the OEM lease and transferring it to grant funding. Why isn't that being done now? Why wasn't that done 6 months ago? I mean, that savings is real now, and we don't need a consolidation to realize it. Now some specific comments regarding emergency medical services itself. There was a study that was conducted last year, and it was done through the EMS Advisory Board using Homeland Security grant funding. We wanted to see the readiness, the preparedness, what level EMS was prepared for in Westchester County in the event of a significant disaster. Now, I don't believe the report was shared for you. The county executive has a copy, and it really came out right before election time. And there was a decision made that because the county exec was getting his sea legs with new administration, that we wouldn't drop this big report on it right now, although the EMS Advisory Board did digest the report and make recommendations that we were going to bring to the exec's attention. EMS in Westchester County has some significant issues. It's hanging on by its fingertips. There are real significant problems with EMS as enumerated in this report. We can't afford any step back. We can't afford to lose or even miss a beat here. Otherwise, we're going to lose one hand on holding on to that ledge. Some of the issues that are facing EMS in Westchester County right now can be addressed through an expansion of 60 control. One of those issues, for example, is the report found that A way to save lives is every single person that calls a telephone, that calls 911 with a medical emergency in Westchester County, should have access to what's called emergency medical dispatch. Everybody, regardless of what jurisdiction you call from.
Yeah, Chief, if I can, I appreciate those comments. And so for the committee members, I have been trying for a while to get that report, and the administration did, I want to make it clear on the record, did get that report out to me. So I do have, I just had a chance to get around because it has, you know.
Is that, it's a real thick, I think it was sent around to us.
Well, I may have been, no, we may have sent it around, I did. I want to, I assume this is.
I don't think so, I haven't seen it.
Is this?
It's really thick.
Yeah, well, is this, I assume this is the report we're talking about, right?
I think we did email it, it's like 200 pages.
Yeah, which did raise some concerns. So, because we've been working on this particular proposal, we haven't.
Oh, you did.
We haven't debated yet, but just to put, the administration did finally submit it, and we do have it, and we will get to it. So I just want to let you know, I appreciate it. We will be pursuing that and asking for your input specifically on that report.
I'd be appropriate to do that.
The Fitch report, right? Fitch.
You can refer to the comments that I'm making.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to call to order government reform, efficiency, and savings. Sorry, I'm a few minutes late. We're in session. We have a quorum. Thank you very much.
So we will get that report on a more, But that's fine. We would like to hear your comments.
Some of the recommendations in that report, for example, said that some smaller agencies can't possibly provide the service. First of all, there's a very big quality assurance issue here. If you give people the wrong information, what's going to happen is you could hurt somebody as well as help them. So if you don't do it regularly, if you're not a bigger service, like the city of Yonkers, for example, has full-time EMD dispatch, and several other major cities do as well. But the recommendation in the report was, if you can't do it yourself, every EMS call that you receive should be transferred to 60 Control, where their dispatchers do that every single day. They do enough of them that their skill levels are high. They have an excellent quality assurance module where people sit down and critique the voice recordings of what went on there so they can see if somebody made a mistake that can prevent it from happening again. Well, that would require probably an expansion of 60 Control, not a contraction of 60 Control. The merger alludes to it's hard to understand what it means that down the road, one thing we can look at is merging the two dispatch centers. Well, that's great, and obviously that would make sense because you've got a dispatch center up at the Department of Public Safety, and you've got one on Dana Road, but they do two separate things. Police dispatching, and I've been a cop for 40 years, so I can tell you I know a little bit about police dispatching. Police dispatching is fairly one-dimensional as compared to what 60 Control does. 60 Control dispatches fire, EMS provides EMD, and provide dispatch for a number of fire departments, all of which have differing protocols. The Department of Public Safety dispatches their law enforcement officers with a single protocol. 60 Control has a different CAD system, which has been upgraded thanks to the work of this board a few years ago, brought it into the 21st century. It's different than that in Department of Public Safety, even though a significant amount of money has just gone into upgrading DPS dispatch centers. It's apples and oranges. It's comparing two different things. And a merger of that nature, first of all, would take an enormous amount of additional infrastructure to combine them both. It would have to be bring the DPS dispatches up to the same learning level as the current dispatches of 60 Control, which would take a significant time period. And they may not even have the aptitude to do, some of them may not have the aptitude to do emergency medical dispatch. But the point is that we can't go backwards here. We cannot, EMS is teetering on the verge of a catastrophe every single day we function in Westchester County. And that's not hyperbole, it's the truth. And if you read that report, if you truly give it a read, you'll find that supports what I'm saying here. EMS is also a quality assurance-driven operation. We have over 2,000 paramedics that work in the field, do pre-hospital work in the field. We want to make sure that every one of those providers delivers the highest level of service possible, and if anyone in that field is not delivering the highest level of service possible, that they be weeded out before, God forbid, we should have an unfortunate incident where somebody, instead of being saved, is harmed. Every single report that these people write is reviewed by a quality assurance person at the Department of Emergency Services, and there are tens of thousands of them a year. That position is going to be cut. Now, we've been assured that, we're going to pick up that slack in DPS. And I have every reason to believe that people believe that can be the case. Well, it took years. to get this person up to the skill level they are now. And we can't wait years for somebody else to come up to the same skill level. It's just not possible. There are also quality assurance positions being cut, and quality assurance for emergency medical dispatch, which is critical to making sure that functions at the highest level possible. That position being cut too. As well as a coordinator for all the volunteer community emergency response teams in the county. The county coordinates all the CERT teams in the county. That position is being cut too. And again, we've been assured that, we're going to pick up that slack. And, no disrespect to any administration, but we've heard promises from politicians before, and when the legislation gets adopted, and I'm not going to, believe me, I'm a registered independent, but now we see health care. But not because I can't make up my mind, either. We see health care, which was going to reduce our premium by $2,500 a year, is no longer going to reduce our premium by $2,500 a year. But it's the law, so we're stuck with it now. And it's highly unlikely it's going to be changed. We don't want to see that happen here. We don't want to see us introduce something for what appears to be a nominal amount of savings and have the impact be so adverse to EMS that we can't undo it, or the time it takes to undo it. Some really serious issues could occur in Westchester County. If a single life is lost because of this, it washes the savings out. 10 times the savings wouldn't be enough to justify that. And again, I'm not trying to avoid hyperbole if I can here, but we're talking about life and death. We in law enforcement business, we propose, we tell people we save lives. And we do. We indirectly save lives. We lock up bad guys that could hurt people. Bad guys that have hurt people, we try to find them, take them off the street before they can hurt other people. We take drivers off the street that are drunk, that could injure you. These are all ways to save lives. But EMS every day in the street physically services people and actually, literally saves their lives. They would not be walking and breathing tomorrow if it was not for the EMS services in this county every single day. It's not speculation. It's not could be. It's not yes, this by doing this we prevent this. No, this happens every day. Dozens and dozens of lives are saved annually by EMS. We can't afford to degrade that by reducing quality assurance levels and not having real good oversight of our providers. There was another issue that we saw in the law, and it's something we picked up that really is not, it's been this way forever, but we believe it's wrong, and if we're going to address, write new law, we should address this as well. In the law itself, the composition of the Fire Advisory Board is clearly delineated. It says a certain number of people are going to be representatives of the public at large, a certain number are going to be from Fire Chiefs Association, this association, this association. It doesn't have any such composition breakdown for EMS Advisory Board. So from a technical perspective, although I do believe that public at large should be represented on all these boards because they should have input, they're paying the taxes. They should be the ones to say, I hear what you say, but I don't think that the expense justifies an increase in taxes or that what the result justifies the increase. So they should certainly be represented. But right now we could actually have an EMS Advisory Board that are all lay people because there is no composition set in law. There could literally be not a single EMS provider agency represented on the EMS Advisory Board. I think that has to be addressed so we make sure that we have at least representatives from the volunteer agencies, from municipal agencies, from private agencies, from hospitals perhaps, from various other people that deal with pre-hospital medicine. So our concern, to reiterate again, do believe that in this day and age, we've got to find ways to save money. But we've got to do it prudently, especially when it comes to areas where it's so critical that if we make a mistake, I talked about my previous life before.
And,
my board was as prone to saving money as anybody else, and we were talking about cut your budget by 20%. Well, nobody can cut a budget by 20%, not a lot of people. And my position was, I can cut it 20%. Yeah, there's no doubt. It's going to cost you X number of people. But after you cut them, you can't. There's no cop shop where you go down the street when you find out you made a mistake and start picking one of these out and picking one of these out and picking one of these out and throw them back in your agency and fill those holes and make it function again overnight. It can't happen. So once you gentlemen and ladies take this action, it's pretty permanent. I mean, even if you realize after the fact that there's been a mistake made here, it's going to be very, very, very difficult to undo that mistake and get us back to where we were before. And the stadiums we're talking about, I cannot see the justification in giving this, and again, please excuse the term, the bum's rush, just to save $690,000 in the first year of this budget, where if we put it off and pay the consultant $25,000, some outside company that could come in and is not beholden to keeping their jobs, is not beholden to worrying about the politics between the Department of Public Safety and the Department of Emergency Services, what job, who should go here, what position should go here, and just have them take a quick look at this. And I'm not talking about a study that takes 18 months. Something that's biff, bam, thank you, ma'am, and they already have a good outline to go by. I think that that would be more meaningful from our perspective, that an outside agency looked at this and said, would it have no dog in the race, this is where I believe that savings can be realized. They may find more savings.
All right. Chief, thank you very much. I'm sure the members have some questions, but I want to make sure we do have members of the Fire Advisory Board here, and I think so we just don't run out of time. We let the representatives of the Fire Advisory Board speak, and then, Chief, don't go anywhere, because I'm sure there'll be questions for everyone. So thank you, everybody. Have the Fire Advisory Board representatives come up. Members, if that's okay with you, let's get all the testimony and then ask some questions.
Maybe the Chief should stay there.
Yeah, if there's room. Chief, if you want, Chief, you might as well stay at the table.
Oh,
thank you. We're going to be after you. We're going to go get you. So, Mike, you're going to represent you.
Yes, I'm Mike DiVittorio, Captain of Fortress of the Fire Department, Chairman of the Fire Advisory Board.
Welcome.
Thank you. I'd like to start with, it's a hard act to follow. We've met extensively on this. We've reached out to our legislators. I'd like to thank two committees for meeting with us this morning and for listening to our concerns. Mike, I'd like to thank you for coming to the Chief's meeting and listening to us. Like all taxpayers, we've had long discussions about this. We all realize it's a time to save money. We need to save money. And there are ways to save money, Chief Kapika said, without going ahead with this merger. This is a time for cooperation, not consolidation, and not for a takeover. There are many proposals, whether it's sharing classrooms, sharing training facilities. These are things that can be done now. As a matter of fact, the training facilities are shared now. The Police Academy uses the Fire Academy field for some of their training. There's no reason that we can't go ahead and just mandate cooperation amongst the departments in the county. Just as there's no reason that we can't mandate some way for the county police, the county Department of Public Safety, the county Department of Emergency Services to just use common sense. We all realize it needs to be done. That needs to be done. The other issue we have, one of the many other issues we have, the biggest one is this has been, as Chief said, almost a rush into this without any consideration of a future cost. Yeah, we've seen, and I won't go through the facts and figures Chief Kapika did because I kind of took the thunder out of our, what we wanted to say here today, but it's the same exact thing. For the small savings you're going to realize today, what's the cost to the county and the taxpayers tomorrow? Now, I don't know about police. I'm not well versed in what happens with the police. It's more the Chief's area of expertise. But I know on the fire end, we're subject to innumerable costs, unseen costs to the taxpayer, subject to, whether it be unfunded mandates from the state or federal government, mandates from the NFPA, the insurance service organizations, from OSHA. How are they going to affect cost to the taxpayer in the future by going ahead with this merger? One of the things we touched on was combined dispatch. Just to give an example, in a combined dispatch center, it's automatically assumed by the fire insurance companies that it's a police dispatch center that happens to do fire dispatch. Your insurance rating goes up. You're going to pay more in fire insurance. Ergo, your $700,000 in savings this year might translate into millions of dollars in additional costs in fire insurance premiums to the taxpayers of this county. These are things that need to be studied and looked into. and considered before we rush to judgment on this.
Like, that's the ISO ratings, just for the members.
Yes.
Yeah.
The chief touched on the White Plains issue. Again, it's a poor example. The city of White Plains, single police department, single fire department, reported to a single mayor and city council. The county functions as, again, a myriad number of fire departments, EMS agencies, none of which the county has control over. So, again, it's a poor one. I know the police have touched on the command and control issue. I don't know why. We have no problem with command and control in the county now. Right, we're all, as the chief said, subject to NIMS. It hasn't been a problem. Why it's being brought up, we don't know. The only place the county would ever, the DPS, the ES, would ever have any type, actually DPS would have any type of command and control is on a county facility. Other than that, it's the local authorities having jurisdiction. So we don't know why that's been brought up. I'm going to be brief here. For 40 years, the fire service fought for an equal voice at the table. We finally got that through the efforts of Legislator Ryan and a few others. We don't want to lose that now. Right now, the way it's proposed, we become just somebody sitting in the back seat again. Similar to the EMS, that's what will happen. No matter what happens, there's going to always be a law enforcement officer sitting in the front chair, making that final decision. We're going to lose that voice. If he says no, it's a no. Now, we realize once you get up to the ninth floor, there is somebody sitting there that's going to make a final decision. But we lose the ability to have somebody to go up to the ninth floor. We lose our commissioner. I guess the best way somebody pointed this out to me was this was a solution looking for a problem. There is no problem now. Why are we looking to create one? Just please consider the future ramifications of what's being proposed here, both financial and public safety-wise. And public safety is the big one. Consolidation is a great buzzword right now. Consolidate, consolidate, consolidate. You don't have to consolidate when you can cooperate and still save money. And that's what we're proposing.
Very good. Thank you. Thank you all. Chairman Kaplan, do you want to say anything? All right, we have two representatives. We certainly appreciate both your input. I'll now open it to four members. Legislator Harkin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, both Mr.'s Chair. We've heard a little bit, and you mentioned again about the insurance and the ISO ratings. Could you go into a little bit more detail on that and how that works and how that might be impacted?
Each department, fire department, is evaluated by the insurance service organization. And basically, it's an organization fire insurance companies belong to that gives them an overview of fire, lets them set a fire insurance rate. It's done on a fairly regular basis. And one of the factors that's taken into account there is, to give the example of dispatching, is who does your dispatching, what type of dispatching it is. If it's a combined dispatch center, police and fire, you lose points unless you have an increased number of dispatchers with people dedicated to fire. It's always assumed that the police take priority in a combined dispatch center, and that you lose points on that on your insurance rating.
Are there models of combined dispatch centers that you can point to? Other municipalities or counties or?
There are quite a number of them, but again, you have to. Those counties or municipalities take that into account and make basically additional fire dispatchers or additional dispatch personnel to account for that. And again, that I'm sure, I don't know how that affects EMS, to be perfectly frank with you. I don't go into that as much as the fire service is involved with EMS in this county, but I'm sure that also affects it as well.
And I think just generally, as we hear all the time, Westchester County, maybe some counties in New York, are different than most county governments around the country. Just the whole rule and the way it's not all county fire, county police, county dispatches, the county. So we're always charting some, not new, it's a new territory, but different territory when we start comparing ourselves to other places, because we have this this hybrid.
We have major cities too.
And we have cities, but
we're like Erie maybe and Monroe, right. But so there are not too many counties with major cities also.
Yeah, Pete, you don't need to finish. Burton.
I'd like to drill down a little bit further on this. You say there's a loss of points.
Yes.
And those points are used to build a kind of a pyramid that ultimately results in rates of insurance.
Yes.
Can you give us an example of how it would work? I mean, a concrete example of this. If there's only one variable, the dispatch situation, what's that going to do to my fire insurance? Can you make that a concrete number?
There's training is taken into account. Support services are taken into account. You can go down a list. But if, for argument's sake, and I couldn't tell you off the top of my head what exactly it is. But if you get, for argument's sake, if dispatch is 10% of your total rating, if you lose half of the possible points on that, it might affect your department going from a 4 to a 5, or a 2 to a 3.
Yeah, the rating is 5 to 6.
It's 1, 2, 3. It's grouped, it varies
to 10.
To 10. But it goes 1, 2, 3, or 1, 2, 3, 4.
For residentials, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
And commercial,
well, commercial stays with
the higher the number, the better the number.
And if you ever look at your insurance, it's always, you know, where, how far a fire hydrant is from your house, I think everybody's rated.
But what I'm trying to do is tease apart this to see. It's been asserted that it will be a substantial impact on my fire insurance bill. I can dig out what my fire insurance is, and if it's going to add 10% to my $500 fire insurance bill, that's $50.
Yes.
That's one thing. If it's 10%, if it's 20% on my $800 fire insurance bill, it's then becomes more. I'm just trying to get a sense of this, because it's true. If it hits everybody in this county, $50 times how many ever housing units there are, 200,000 housing units, that's real money.
It's a substantial amount.
But that's not, I don't mean to push you on this, but substantial doesn't cut it. I just want to know more about this, because we are dealing in a very small range of dollars, $600,000 or $700,000 in year one. If that is one third of what the fire insurance increase is going to be, that would really move my vote. If it were not quite $600,000 or $700,000, it might move my vote in the other direction.
Bill, can I say Captain? We have asked the administration, because these are fair points, so we have asked the administration, which I'm not sure if they had specifically, there are a lot of unintended consequences, or there's a lot of consequences to this, and we did a couple of weeks ago ask the administration to look into that point, and for the administration to tell us what they had looked at, what they will look at, to give us some understanding, because we need to know if this, at the end of the day, when you put all the factors in, it's 1/1,000th of a point, and it won't affect it, or it might, in fact. We want to hear from the administration.
Waiting on a response from the administration. Yes. Okay, thank you then very much, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate you.
Let me just prep this.
Okay.
Legislator Marcotte.
I'm sorry. Just to that point, Mr. Chairman. Is it possible, and I'm playing devil's advocate here, are there other areas in the proposal that you would actually pick up points that would actually make that loss a wash? Is it possible?
In looking over the proposal, no, I don't see anywhere where you would pick up any type of points.
Okay. So that would be the only effect.
Now, that being said, when we went ahead and did this, and a lot of departments did go to county control, as opposed to using, especially the northern county departments went to the county, rather than having their local police or the county police pick up their fire phones. They picked up on their fire insurance. They started saving money.
Legislator Marcotte, hopefully when the administration comes back, and again, like sometimes with with Mike with budget chair, you talk to the Moody's folks sort of before we did certain things to kind of get a sense. This sounds like a situation where the administration did or should have gone to ISO and say, we're thinking of doing this merger. Here's our proposal.
How
it would affect us. Right, I would think they'd give us like a, maybe give us a declaratory judge, some kind of, you know, opinion as to what
revenue rule.
A revenue rule, got it. So, but we will follow Bill to Bill Burton's, you know, we'll follow administration. Have we, because that was a solid one way or the other, you know, if we get a ruling from ISO or some understanding, we appreciate
now that's,
it came out from
that's,
you, you know.
That's a ramification if you go ahead with this proposal and eventually combine the dispatch.
Right.
That's one of the ramifications you have to look at.
Exactly. No, it was apparently, because we, I heard that from you, we went to the administration and we're going to respond.
We're not going to just do this and then say, well, we'll wait for the consequences later.
No, we need to get that
answer. We want to know the consequences now before we go down this road.
The administration owes us an answer.
It's unwise to do anything else.
So they owe us an answer. We asked the commission a couple weeks ago. Right.
And conversely, gentlemen, we, you know, we're taking a fresh look at this. That's always a good thing. But is there an opportunity of suggestions that you would like to make that would pick up points for us that maybe cut against the proposal on the table, but we get to incorporate in an amended or in a new proposal? I mean, this is the time to do it, and public safety is leading us in this discussion, but, you know, quickly budget is going to, you know, hit on our desks, and we're going to run out of time. So if there are things that you gentlemen had dreamed about, thought about, that don't cost us any money, thank you, if you could, but could save us. No, but again, suggestions that you would have liked to have incorporated in the past, we'd like to hear those.
It, to save money on the county level?
Yeah.
Suggestion. We've suggested right from the beginning there are ways to save money for the county, which just right off is we have no problem combining or consolidating the back office operations throughout the county government. In all honesty, why should everybody have HR and budget and everything else?
That
should be in one. And that's one way
that's
to say
fair.
It.
Yeah. But I'm talking more specific to, not that you're not titled a citizen to make those comments, and they're great, but also to this, and you don't even have to answer it now, if you gentlemen could, you know, go back and come up with a short punch list of things that you want us to incorporate, we're doing it. I mean, let's put it on the table and see. It could very well be that we took this as the opportunity to make it, the outcome could look very different, but the goal is still the same, saving money. And it could be that what we ultimately come up with is very different than what's been proposed to us, but we can incorporate some of your suggestions.
Okay, legislative on.
Chief Kapika, when you started, I thought I heard you say that there was the MS supported consolidation, but everything after that, I got the feeling you were not supportive.
Well,
did I misunderstand?
Support consolidation if it doesn't undermine the county's ability to provide emergency services.
But it seemed the concerns you expressed seemed to be that you thought that, as currently proposed, a consolidation would undermine services.
It's difficult, you know, we have raised these concerns to both commissioners at meetings that we've been at. It was an addendum to the proposal that was generated because of our concerns.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I'm still uncomfortable
about
it.
Okay, so the addendum did not satisfy your concerns.
Right. I'm still uncomfortable about it because it's easy to say those duties can be consumed by somebody in DPS. They can't be. I mean, if you're a general surgeon and all of it, you can't step in and do brain surgery tomorrow. You can't do it. So if your dispatchers are good Department of Public Safety dispatchers for police, they can't step in tomorrow and dispatch and fire an EMS.
Right.
They can't do it. There's a learning curve, and if you don't have adequate resources, you set us back.
Right.
So, you know, I'm concerned about that. And I also understand, I'm a pragmatist, I realize that not every concern can be addressed in a proposal. And there's, frankly, the best laid plans of mice and men, there's got to be an unintended consequence here that we're going to have to scramble to fix if this thing goes through it as it is. It's the best in any situation that those things happen. I'm trying to avoid the ones that are obvious to us right now.
We appreciate that. Let the legislator know we continue.
You mind?
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
But as I understand the proposal, and this goes to the ISO issue too, I think, their proposal currently is to keep 60 control intact. So how would that affect the points, for instance, and how would that affect the quality of the dispatch for fire and EMS?
Well, if it's not...
It's
proposed that in the future it will be combined.
Right.
That's one of our major concerns.
Right.
It's been suggested that not a verbatim quote, but in context, it's a quote, that they'd be put in the same room and separated by a piece of glass. Well, if you're going to do that, you're going to spend several millions of dollars in infrastructure costs to be sure, to be certain, yeah, so that this guy can learn this guy's job. We're going to put him in the same room. If you're going to spend all that kind of money, you might as well consolidate them. I mean, you can't have them in the same room.
But what we've been represented to now, at least by the commissioners and the administration, is that they would not try to combine the two. It would be sometime in the future. They don't say when, but they say right now we're just going to have 60 control operate the way it has been, and police dispatch operate the way
it has been. John, if they want to bring together...
Physically side by side.
Someone who said, there are investments we've made in two locations, and to combine them separate but in the same location...
We have not gotten a cost estimate of what
we have. There's going to be some kind of either movement of equipment or purchasing new equipment, but there'll be a cost...
Isn't that an argument against the consolidation? Is that an expense that goes against the savings? Yeah. I mean, to me, if you're not going to... Consolidation means you're putting these two departments together. To keep aspects of it separate means that they can function better in that capacity. We can't combine them now, either because they can't function more efficiently combined, or because the cost would be so prohibitive, we don't want to combine.
That's a cost factor. They talked about bringing everyone into one room. We didn't look at the cost.
We don't have the cost, so that may be something I need to ask for.
Chief, can I just come from the other direction?
I can't ask more questions.
No. Keep going. You got the floor.
If anybody thinks they're irrelevant, they're irrelevant.
Go ahead.
On the composition of the emergency board, I see in the legislation there's no criteria like there was for fire. Currently, is there any criteria?
Currently, except for the last two positions that were appointed, which were very, very recent, right, everybody is either a... It has some EMS background.
But it's not in the statute now.
It's
just the way it's been done. Okay. And, you know, that Fitch report, actually, I'm glad you raised it, Chief, and I think this is something we do have to pay attention to. I mean, the Fitch report has a conclusion that if proactive steps are not taken to improve service delivery, there will be an unnecessary loss of life event or an inadequately managed, isolated emergency that will create community scrutiny and dissatisfaction leading to forced change. I don't know what they mean by that, but, you know... I guess we haven't talked about how the current proposal might deal with this.
No, but I got that several months ago, frankly. I went right to the administration and said, my God, what is this? But they were still, commissioners were still wanting to brief the county executive, and so I said, I gave them some room to do that. But we did eventually get it, and the committees, we do need to look at that because some of that language is pretty damning. Once we know about it, we need to do something about it.
And one more question.
Go ahead.
One more. For the chief. You know, what I hear is this fear and concern, and I wasn't around when the decision was made to consolidate, to create emergency services. So I don't know all of the thinking that went behind it, but I really sense is a concern and fear that having the public safety commissioner at the top, you know, I hear the loss of a voice, loss of access. I mean, why is that such a great concern? Why do you think a public safety commissioner, just because he comes from the police side, would not be responsive or listen to the fire and EMS concerns? That's what I'm trying to understand. Why is there that concern? Maybe it's based on fact.
We feel that they would be not responsive. We spent many years under the county police. We spent many years fighting to get out from under the county police. We don't want to go back there. In all honesty, Chairman Kaplowitz was there when I said this. I honestly believe that Rob Astorino has performed a miracle. In order to get the entire fire service on the same page for the first, when you can get firefighters from Yonkers to agree with firefighters from South Salem, you've really done something. So,
if I can address that as well, I have the greatest respect for Commissioner Longworth, and I believe Commissioner Longworth would do his best to bring everybody's point to the table. But that's Commissioner Longworth. I don't know who the next commissioner is going to be, who may be very police oriented, who may think the police. Need for resources is greater than the need. How many real disasters do we have in Westchester County where we have to open an emergency response center? How many do we really have? Oh, we can skimp on that. We don't want it. All it takes is one. And you made a statement that you read part of that report. Mm-hmm. Well, that means if there's really something terrible that happens, hideous, that makes the front page of the newspaper because we haven't addressed those issues, then you're going to have to, everybody's going to have to pony up some bucks in the middle of a fiscal year that they don't have, out of contingency to address it. Why go through that? Let's just be proactive and prevent that from happening.
And thank you, Jack. Excuse me, I'd like to get Legislative Myers.
I just wanted to add on to something that it seems to be very opportune that this past week and this coming week, at least in my district, there are a lot of inspection dinners and inspection programs going on. And I have to say, I have heard, to your point that this has brought everybody together, mm-hmm. I have heard in one single unified voice from EMS and fire that this is not the way to do it. So I would like you to know that this is being echoed in a lot of different communities.
Can you comment, though, coming from maybe the other end, at the state level, I understand, the Homeland Security, and again, some of the, you know, 97, 99, this was before 2001, what I'm told is, you know, well, we're all told, the world has changed since 2001, there's different focuses. New York State recently, I think fairly recently, under its Homeland Security Department, has consolidated a lot of the emergency services and things in the state.
Yes, they have.
Do you think that may affect us on grant? Is the state going to look at Westchester, other counties differently? Would it be helpful? I'm just trying to put some on the other side. Helpful if we had a consolidated department to kind of match up with what the state, and the state is not down here, the local municipality is working either.
I know on the fire service end, we were opposed to that.
Okay. But in terms of the county and localities working with the state, and now there's new, I guess, fairly large Homeland Security / Emergency Services / Public Safety Department, do you see any difference or how might we all interact with them with or without this proposal?
I think if you combine the grant departments, which is to me is a no-brainer, and they could seek input from their respective...
That would be the access point.
Exactly. And rather than police going off on their own or EMS or fire going off on their own saying, we need this right away, we're vying with our own Department of Public Safety for finite grant money. Well, let's get together and come up with a consensus about what we should be asking for that helps us all. And if sometimes fire has to get something this year because they really need it and the cops have to wait another year, that's the way it goes. That's the nature of getting along. And you can save money by not having a grant right in one department, another one in another department. And I just want to point out something you mentioned earlier, which I neglected to add in my presentation. Under the current setup, the proposed setup, where there's a commissioner, a Department of Public Safety commissioner, and three deputies, well, as you pointed out, what happens if one of those deputies is away, is sick, is in a hospital, is on vacation, and there's a major disaster here? Now at least we have separate departments with deputies that can fill in the position. Now, I'm hopeful that somebody without a title will step into the mix and say, hey, listen, I'm going to take over, even though I really don't have any authority or any title, or it's past my pay grade, but I'm going to step in and do the right thing for the county. But it's a thought. What's the command structure?
Yeah, we haven't gotten to the command structure as you go down, people are out, and who's...
That's one of our other issues, yeah. Actually.
Who's acting commissioner?
When the commissioner is gone, the next guy in charge is the fellow would be the police commissioner. The first deputy.
Right.
The first deputy.
I want to try to finish up. Now it's 12 o'clock, but so we'll open any more questions if we have, and I'll ask from the floor as well. But the main message one of the main messages I hear from both of you, and it's a nice soundbite Mike gave us, you know, cooperation versus consolidation. We talk a lot here, Mike's committee, consolidation versus shared services. It's another way of saying, you know, cooperation, maybe instead of consolidating shared services between the departments is like your cooperation, and have we fully explored, the two county departments, fully explored the sharing services?
My final comment is consolidation is a means. It's not the end. The end is savings and improved service, or at least no diminution of service. Everybody's throwing it out as a buzzword that that's the end unto itself, and that's not the case. And so I think we're very mindful of the fact that the goal, we're not going to take our eye off it, is savings, the best service at the lowest cost. And if this is a tool, it might work with some departments. In other departments, it might be the same standalone with taking the administrative wing and emphasis on grants and emphasis on HR and emphasis on all that. So we'll wend our way through it, and it's been very helpful. And I think also as for my committee, the two gentlemen are coming in and representing. And I understand, I think on 2 weeks from today, we're going to have a meeting with the police advisory board and an opportunity to really meet with all the advisories, flesh it out, and then we'll be fully, armed where we can then be able to
fully advise
and consent as to what would be the wisest course to take.
Gentlemen, on behalf of the committees, we thank both for coming. Does anybody in the audience very quickly have a question or a comment they want to throw in before we adjourn?
I'd be more than happy to bring material to the table on the ISO, since the county was nice enough to contact me after you directed them to get more information. I'd be more than happy to go into whatever depth you need, including actual financials and what we saw in New Rochelle. When we went from dispatching through the police department, we came to 60 control, and our rates improved the citywide substantially. And we have documentation on what those numbers are.
Or Melanie, community staff, and maybe Melanie, try to get the information, that'd be helpful. So we follow up on that.
Just for the record, a lot of that information that I had came from Barry.
Okay, very good. Scott?
I think that these are arguably two of the most important departments in the county. And I think that this is
Scott Moore from Rochester.
This is a little vague, and no disrespect to the people who put it together, who were told they needed to put it together. It needs to be studied further. It's too important, and the savings do not justify what we're looking at.
Okay, thank you. With that, for both committees,
yes.
I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
I'll move the minutes for the public safety.
That was
for October 4th.
October 4th. Thank you, Ms. Lennon. Do I have a second? Mr. Bird, seconds. All in favor?
Aye.
Minutes are approved. A motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Mr. Nolan, Mr. Bird, second. That's for both. Well, that's for public safety.
I'll do both.
And I'll second.
And we have a second, Leslie Morris, for the second committee. All in favor? We are adjourned. Thank you, everybody.
ANC, we're going to go through
something
all the changes.
At 12:30?
No, 1.
Oh, not till 1.
1:30.
Oh,
wow.
Oh, legislation at 1:30.
That was excellent.
Hey, hold.
Yeah,